Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was among the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Before Mass, I always try to get holy, you know, for Mass. But it's just too cold out there. So I don't know how holy I'm going to be today, but I'll do my best. Here we go. Many are giving credit to Travis Kelce for the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, not only because of his great performance on the field, and he really did well, at least the second half. First half, he stunk. Second half, got 100 yards almost. But they credit him for what he did before the game started. Travis was invited to give the traditional pregame speech to the team on Saturday night. Teammates gathered around Travis, wondering, you know, what is he going to say? But from out of his mouth came forth a speech so powerful, so moving, so heartfelt, that some of these big old football guys started to cry. They literally started to cry in the locker room. It was so beautiful. Mecole Hardman, that's the guy who caught the winning touchdown, he tried to describe this speech. He said, I have never heard a speech like this before. It gave me chills. I could never reenact the passion and energy that Travis gave to us. And then Kelce described the main message of his talk. I just wanted to let them know how much passion I have for this team and that we have the formula for success and the formula to fight until the very end. And then Hardman explained the formula. Travis urged us not to be a hero, not to be bigger than anyone else, and to lean on teammates if they got overwhelmed. That was their formula for success. Now today, Jesus retreats into the desert to prepare for an encounter far greater than the Super Bowl. Jesus began his fight against evil. Satan countered by tempting Jesus in three ways. And these three ways of temptation are common to every human being. Whatever temptation you experience will fall under these three categories. Believe me, I've been in all three. So I can speak from experience. Okay. So here's the first one. The devil, when fighting Jesus, tempts Jesus in the battleground of the flesh. You're hungry, Jesus. Turn these stones into bread. Pamper yourself. Matthew 4, verse 3. The second temptation is pride. Jesus, you're so important. Just throw yourself off the temple roof. Force God to do your will. Make him send angels to you. It's Matthew 4, 5 through 6. And the third temptation is idolatry. Jesus, said Satan, worship me, and I'll give you an easy life of being selfish and being comfortable. Matthew 4, 8 through 9. Satan does his best to distract Jesus from God's mission of salvation. And Satan will distract you from accepting that salvation. All your temptations, and the purpose of them is to separate you from God. All your temptations will be these basic three: desires of the flesh, pride, and idolatry. Now, I want to explain to you something here. It is not a sin to be tempted. I hear this in confession so often. Forgive me, Father, if I've sinned. I was tempted. Well, I said, well, did you give in? No, but I was tempted. That's okay. It's not a sin. And in fact, when you're tempted, it's a sign you're doing something right by God. And the devil's trying to keep you from doing the right and to do the wrong. Okay? So when you're tempted, it means it's really a badge of honor. It's okay to be tempted. That shows that you are right with God, and Satan hates that. He hates that. He will tempt you to turn away from God. Now, here's a little caveat. I thought about this since writing this sermon. Beware of rationalization. Beware of rationalizing. You know what that means. Cutting corners or making an excuse to do something bad that you know you shouldn't do. And that's sometimes I fail at that. In fact, I failed twice this week. I have to start all over again on my Lenten resolutions. You know, for one of my minerals that I take, it's a cacao. You know cacao, what that is. Chocolate. But cacao is an actual vitamin / mineral. It's good for your body. So normally I have cacao pills, okay? And I take the cacao pills. But I ran out of the pills. And I knew in my refrigerator I had cacao chocolate. I gave up chocolate for Lent. And so I said to myself, rationalizing, well, you know, that chocolate, it does have the vitamins I need, and maybe I should eat that. And you know, I'll just forget that it's sweet and tastes great and I love it. I'll just forget that, but this is medicine. So I rationalize a candy bar to be medicine. Isn't that stupid? But that's the stuff I do. At the fish fry, which was very successful. He's a hero. I'll explain that at the end of Mass. At the fish fry, I said, I'm not going to eat a dessert. I'm not going to eat a dessert. But you have to walk by the dessert table, okay? And there is this big apple pie calling out to me. And I said, no, Lord, I must not eat that. But then I rationalized, because the one who made that pie said, oh, you must try a piece. It's really good. And then I thought to myself, well, Lord, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And I ate the pie. I didn't suffer at all, come think of it. It's really good. I love cold apple pie. But I rationalized. See how stupid I was? I rationalized. Don't rationalize. So my brothers and sisters, Jesus today then leaves the desert, and he gives us his pep talk. Not Travis Kelce, but the Jesus pep talk. Jesus now proclaims his formula for a successful life with God and victory in the fight over evil. What is Jesus' formula? It is this: repent and believe. That's the formula for spiritual success. Repent. What does that mean? Well, technically, it's a Greek military word that simply means to turn around. If the soldiers were marching down the wrong road, the commander of the army would yell out, you know, in Greek, repent. And the soldiers said, oh, we got to turn back. And they'd all just turn around and walk towards the right road. So that's what repent means. It means to turn around. When you go down the wrong road, then you have to get to the right road. And, you know, sometimes we think we're bigger than God, don't we? You know, we think we're more important than God. That'll send you down the wrong road. That's pride. It'll send you right down there. But when you go the right road, then you will have a peace of mind, knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. Isn't it wonderful to have a good conscience? Have you ever had a bad conscience? I think we all do from time to time, where you hit your head on the pillow and you're feeling guilty and you can't sleep. But when you have a good conscience, you go to bed, you snore all night, and it feels so good. My brothers and sisters, I worked for 10 years at the Care Unit Hospital. This was the hospital in Cincinnati for drug rehabilitation and alcohol recovery. And you know, the clients that I had the most trouble with were the ones who were powerful and the ones who had money, because they thought that, you know, we'll do it my way. Don't you tell me what to do for recovery. I have it figured out. I will fix it, and I'll do it the way I want. And so these guys, they're going to fix their drug addiction, though they're not doctors, didn't have a clue what to do. They did a recovery program on their own terms, designed by them. And we would, you know, kind of look at them and joke a little bit and say, they'll be back. Usually they'll be back in 30 days. And sure enough, some of these people, 30 days, they were going right back through our doors, but this time they were humble. And finally they realized they need help. And they would come back and let us help them, because they couldn't fix everything. They thought they could, but they couldn't. And then we, who had the knowledge, gave them a program of recovery, and then they were ready to go down the right road. Repentance, though, is only a first step in Jesus' formula of success spiritually. The second is to believe. You got to believe. And Jesus tells you what to believe. Believe in the good news. What is the good news? It is simply this. When you turn away from God, believe He wants you back. Talk about passion. God is passionate for you. Like Kelsey was imparting passion to the players, Jesus is passionate for you to be with Him. He wants you back. That's the good news. You know, the pressure of a Super Bowl, I would imagine, can get very overwhelming. And that's when Kelsey told his teammates, lean on each other. In those moments that you're overwhelmed and the pressure is great, lean on each other to help each other. And life can get overwhelming. Have you ever been overwhelmed by life? Me too. You too. I know what you're struggling with. Her husband's sick. So it's going to be hard. But life can be overwhelming. But when it's overwhelming, lean on Jesus. He wants you to do that. Lean on Him. God's good news is He always wants to be there for you. He always wants you to lean on Him and to believe that He cares for you. God longs for you to find Him. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Don't take my word, take Jesus' word. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The lost. He's always seeking for His people. In closing, there's an amazing story on the Super Bowl about Mecole Hardman. That's the guy who caught the winning touchdown catch. And he told the CBS broadcast team, "I caught that pass. I blacked out. I didn't know what was going on until I saw Patrick running to me. And like, oh, we just won. Let's celebrate." It was so overwhelming, the joy of this victory. He just passed out. He said, "For a moment, I was disoriented. Didn't know what was going on." And so he didn't feel like a hero. He was just one of many heroes on the team who gave their all. Lent is a time for you to really know the joy of Jesus and Jesus giving his all for you. Lent doesn't have to be a time of being sour and dour and being sourpuss and being, you know, all glum and gloomy. It should be a happy time. Because here's where you realize all your sins are going to be forgiven. And God wants you. And he's passionate for you. And whatever he wants and wills for you is only for your benefit. Isn't it nice when you have someone to care for you? It's nice to be cared for. That has your best interest. That has your back covered. Well, that's Jesus. And that's better than any football team. And so my brothers and sisters, Jesus will always run to you and he'll tell you, we won. Amen. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.